الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bismillah ta'ala, we'd like to continue in this series of lectures, and this is lecture number 9, concerning the explanation or tafsir of various groups of ayat from the Quran with reference to the comments of Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, and with the mention likewise of some of the comments of other scholars of tafsir and the benefits derived from those verses. The verses that we want to discuss this evening are from Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verses 163 to 167. In these verses, deal with the obligation of fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone. Wujub Tawheed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the obligation of fulfilling the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this group of verses mentions a number of points. We can perhaps summarize them in three main points. The first of them is the declaration by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, that there is no other ilahun that deserves to be worshipped besides Him. And the second point that we may summarize here are a group or a series of evidences or proofs that indicate this fundamental principle that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And these proofs are proofs to those who have intelligence, for those who have an intellect, who have the ability to reflect and to think and to examine. Then they will see, if they examine these points, it will become crystal clear. La ilaha illallah, that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone. And the third point is related to those who don't think and don't reflect and don't use their intellect, that in spite of the fact that the proofs of the Tawheed of Allah or the Wahdaniyah of Allah, that He is one, alone and unique, and that nothing else is like Him, equal to Him, or similar to Him, or deserves to be worshipped along with Him, in spite of that, there are people who, due to the lack of use of the intellect, the gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to think and to reflect and to ponder and to see and to understand, they have fallen into the worship of other than Allah. They have worshipped that which is less than Allah, that which doesn't have the right to be worshipped at all. And because of that, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. And this is what this group of verses end with. The fact that there are those who do not recognize the right of Allah to be worshipped alone, and therefore they make something as an equal with Allah, and as a result of that, they will receive the severe punishment of permanent imprisoned in the hellfire. In verse number 163, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. وَإِلَهُكُمْ, your ilah, meaning all of humanity, everything in the creation, your ilah, ilahukum, ilahun wahid, he is one ilah, there is no other one along with him, equal to him or similar to him. And this wahdaniya, the uniqueness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the only ilah, he is unique, singular and alone in his that, the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his being, his self. There is no other that like him. The being, human beings or animals or minerals or anything else in the creation is in no way similar, comparable or equal to the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the divine being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is unique in his that. His that is divine, and every other that, every other being is created. And likewise, he is unique and alone in his sifat, his characteristics or qualities, that he is the one who has power over everything, that he has knowledge of everything, that he is the one who acts according to perfect wisdom and justice, and so on. These characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he alone possesses them, and no one shares with him these qualities, characteristics or descriptions of perfection. Likewise, he is unique and alone in his rububiyyah. He is the only one who is the creator, he is the only one who is the provider, he is the only one who has the power over life and death and the control of the affairs of the universe. And likewise, he is unique and alone in his uluhiyyah, his rububiyyah, that he alone deserves to be worshipped. No type of worship should be given to other than Allah, whether it is prayers or fasting or sacrifice or other than that, such as love and hope and fear. All of these things that are considered as ibadah or worship, they belong to Allah alone. So Allah, huwa ilahul wahid, he is the only one, he is unique, single, and nothing is comparable to him. And he is ar-Rahman, ar-Rahim. These are two of the characteristics of Allah, or two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which come from the same root, from ar-Rahman. And ar-Rahman, as many of the scholars said, it is the characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of his bounty, that he gives to all of his creatures in this world. To all of them, the believers as well as the disbelievers, the obedient as well as the disobedient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bountiful and gives to all of his creatures in this world. Whereas ar-Rahim, it is the characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is exclusive for the believers in the next life. Then he said in the following verse, he begins to bring the proofs. After mentioning that he is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, that he is the only Lord and Creator and Provider, and the only one who has perfect qualities and characteristics, and the only one that deserves to be worshipped, then he gives the proofs to those who may question this fact, those who may doubt. What is the proof that you are the only God, that you are the only one that deserves to be worshipped? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to mention a series of proofs that whoever will reflect on them, it will become clear without a doubt. Any one of them is sufficient to prove that he is the only one that has the right to be worshipped. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ والفلك التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس وما أنزل الله من السماء من ماء فأحيا به الأرض بعد موتها وبث فيها من كل دابة وتصريف الرياح والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض لآيات لقوم يعقلون. But verily in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and whoever would reflect for a moment on the creation of the heavens and the earth, how great is this universe that has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heavens and the earth. What we know and what we don't know in the universe, in outer space, those galaxies or universes that are known to man and those which are unknown, whoever would reflect on the vastness and hugeness and greatness of this creation, then it is singularly a proof of the greatness of the one who created it and that he alone has the right to be worshipped. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ in the creation of the heavens and the earth, وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ and in the alternation of night and day. When one of them comes, the other has to leave. The alternation of night and day, it is a system of precision and perfection that is a clear indication of the greatness and the glory and the power and the wisdom of the one who has set this system into motion. The alternation of night and day is such that if night comes, day has to leave. And if day comes, night has to leave. And this is, if we reflect upon it is not only a precise system that shows the greatness of the one who set it in motion, but there is also a great wisdom in it that the human being is not always living in daytime or not always in nighttime, but there are some hours of day and some hours of night. Sometimes the day is long, sometimes it is short, sometimes the night is long, sometimes it is short, and all of this is according to the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they alternate with one another without any conflict between them, but each one taking its turn. والفلق التي تجري في البحر بما ينفع الناس. And likewise, the ships and فلق, it may be used for singular as well as plural. It means ship as well as ships, the ships that sail across the sea with carrying that which is of benefit to mankind. These ships, especially if we look at the ships today, not to mention the ships of the past, which were in a time, in the ancient time, when the ships were traveling from one land to another. But imagine the ships today, tremendous, gigantic vehicles traveling across the sea with loads, tons and tons of material carrying from one land to another, from one people to another, from one location to another, for the benefit of mankind, sharing what they have amongst themselves. And that these ships are sailing on the sea. The human being who doesn't know how to swim, if he goes out into the sea, he will sink, and he weighs only a few pounds. But these heavy tons of ships, they are sailing across the sea by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ and that which Allah has sent down from the heavens, and from the clouds, مِنْ مَاءٍ of water, فَأَحْيَى بِهِ الْأَرْضِ and He has brought life to the earth, بعد موتها after its death. And He brought life to the earth, after there was no vegetation on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down rain, and He causes life to come forth from the earth with that which is beneficial to humanity and to the animals and other creatures upon the earth. وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ and He has spread out and scattered throughout the earth various types of creatures. مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ and a daba, it is anything that walks upon the face of the earth. Every living creature that walks upon the face of the earth, including humans, are coming under the category of a daba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent forth throughout the earth. In every place on the earth He has spread out various types of creatures walking upon the face of the earth, and every one of them have their differences and their needs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is the one who fulfills all of their needs. وَتَصْرِيْءُ الْرِيَاءِ and He is the one who directs the winds, various type of winds. As the scholars of Tafsir mentioned, we will mention some of what they said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who directs the winds, coming from various directions. Sometimes strong winds, sometimes mild winds, cold winds, hot winds, winds that bring benefit and winds that cause harm. All of this is by the wisdom, the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-alim al-hakim. والسحاب المسخر بين السماء والأرض and those clouds which have been subjugated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to travel in a course between the heavens and the earth. Between the heavens and the earth, those clouds are traveling and they are under complete control, the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also bringing benefit to humanity by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In these things, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ in these things are ayat, or signs, alamat, symbols, directions. They point to something that we may benefit from. They give us knowledge that we may benefit from for those who ya'qilun, those who have aql, who use the intelligence and the intellect to reflect and to think and to ponder. Otherwise, those who don't reflect, they don't see the greatness of these signs pointing clearly to the greatness and the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and proving without a doubt that He alone deserves to be worshipped, and therefore they make other things which are imperfect, which have no power to bring any benefit nor to prevent any harm or to do anything. And yet they take those imperfect creatures that have been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them as equals with Allah, and offer to them the worship that belongs to Him alone. And this is the dhulm, the greatest of dhulm, it is shirk. And for this, the consequence is that those who do so, who refuse to use their intellect, the gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them, and therefore they worship something along with Him, then they will end up in the place of punishment, Jahannam, Nar, the hellfire. Concerning this first group of verses, just quickly, there's some comment here which I thought was really important and beneficial. Sheikh Amirat al-Jazairi, hafizahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory on the scholars, the ulama, to make clear the knowledge and the guidance to the people, and He had prohibited them from hiding the knowledge, then He informs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs, that there is no God, that there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except one God, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And that this is the first thing that the scholars are required to make clear to the people, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His Rububiyyah, His Lordship, as well as in His Ubudiyyah, His right to be worshipped, and His Asma wa Sifat, His names and characteristics. So when some of the Mushrikeen heard this statement of truth and reality, that your God, your Ilahun, He is one, they said, what is the proof for such? Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these words, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, يعني barely in the creation of the heavens and the earth, to the end of this group of verses, that they are signs for those who use their intelligence. And the Shaykh says that these verses consist of six ayat qawmiyya. Ayat qawmiyya. Verses or ayat in the universe, universal signs. Every one of them is a proof, a clear, convincing proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His power, in His knowledge, in His wisdom, and His rahmah, His mercy. And all of them, they are proofs that obligate the human being to worship Allah alone without offering worship to anyone other than Him. And he says that these signs are the first of them, the creation of the heavens and the earth. The second of them is the alternation of night and day. The third of them is the floating of the ships across the sea with that which benefits humanity and preserves their life. The fourth of them is the descending or the sending down of rain from the heavens to bring life to the earth. And that life which comes forth from the earth is the source of life for humanity as well as the animals who are upon the earth. The fifth of them is the directing and controlling of the winds from different directions and of different types. And the sixth of them is the clouds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused to run or to travel between the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has control over them, and He caused them to bring rain to various lands, raining on one land and leaving another according to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is mighty and who is wise. In these six verses are the greatest proofs and the strongest evidences of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His knowledge and His power and His wisdom and His mercy. And that He, due to these reasons, He is the one who is the Lord of the worlds. And He is the one who deserves to be worshipped by the first of people and creatures to the last of them. And that there is no Lord other than Him, and there is nothing that should be worshipped besides Him. Except that whoever looks at these proofs, if they use their intelligence, their intellect, then it will be a benefit to them. And for the one who doesn't use his intellect, who abandons his intellect and refuses to reflect upon and understand and grasp the meaning of these great signs, and instead of using his intellect, he follows his desires, his lower desires or his feelings, then that person will be like a blind person who cannot see, and a deaf person who cannot hear, and a stupid person who cannot understand and who seek refuge in Allah from such. Those are the people who worship other than Allah, the mushrikeen, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised for them the hellfire. After these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who refuse to reflect upon these signs. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And that they are from amongst the people, even after these great signs have been presented to them and made known to them, for everyone to see. No one has to receive a copy of Quran or a book of hadith or an explanation about Islam, but everyone may look in the universe around them, in the creation. Everyone has the ability to see it. These proofs are for everyone. No one is screened or blocked or prevented from them. In spite of that, they are from amongst the people, those who take andadan, who take a nid, a metal, nadir, something as an equal. They make it as an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, from other than Allah, or from that which is less than Allah, because everything is below Allah. So they take, whether it be idols, or the planets, or angels, or prophets, or saints, or trees, or stones, or whatever they worship besides Allah in the past as well as today, there are some from amongst the people who take these things as a need, and bear them, and they love them like the love of Allah. They love them in the way that Allah alone deserves to be loved. They love those things in the way that Allah should be loved, because Allah is the one who gave us life. He is the one who brought us into this world and gave us all of our faculties of seeing and hearing, and our abilities and the gifts of the things that are around us in this earth. He is the one who has given all of this, and therefore He alone deserves this perfect love, which is ibadah, this worship. It belongs to Allah alone. Yet these people have taken stones or trees or other human beings, saints or otherwise, or angels, and they have given them the love that belongs to Allah alone. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. They love them just as they love Allah, equal to the love of Allah. Of course, love is of different types. And the natural love that a person has for their parents, for their mother, for example, or their father, or their children, this is not what is referred to here. This love is the absolute love. The love of the one who has brought you into existence and who controls your life. And that love, there should be no love equal to it. Not the love of anyone or anything is equal to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these people have taken something from the creatures, from creation, and they have given them love like the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that they are those who have not fallen into this. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. But those who believe, their love of Allah is stronger than the love of those who have love of others equal to the love of Allah. Those who believe, their love is purely for Allah alone. They don't share the love of Allah with anything or anyone. Therefore, their love is pure, and it is stronger than those who share their love, who mix their love of Allah with the love of something other than Allah. Therefore, those who believe, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. And this is also a characteristic that a person may examine their own selves with. Anyone may ask themselves, do I love anything or anyone equal to my love of Allah? The believer, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those who are true believers, they love Allah more than anything else. This is a good sign for us to examine ourselves, and if we love anything more than the love of Allah, then we need to examine ourselves. وَلَوْ يَرَى, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a picture of what's going to happen on the day of resurrection as a warning to them for their mistake of offering love, which is worship, it is ibadah, offering it to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He warned them of the punishment that will overcome them. And had they known what it's going to be like on that day when they see the punishment, and when they realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is severe, and that Allah has power over everything, and that there is no escape from His punishment, and that what they have done in this world, it requires that they be punished severely. When they see that, then they would have known for sure the mistake of their action in this world of committing shirk or making anything as an equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا And it's those who did zulm, that is, who did shirk. Because the greatest type of zulm is shirk. The worst type of wrongdoing is shirk. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. And it's those who did zulm, who did shirk. If they see, يعني if they came to know, or if they see with their eyes. إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ. At the time when they see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. If those people would be able to see or would know, at the time when they see that punishment, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that all of the power belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Quwwah is one of the sifat of Allah. Al-Quwwah, the absolute power, it belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a sifat of the sifat of Allah. أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ. The Quwwah, all power, it belongs to Allah جَمِيعًا. All of it is for Allah alone. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. And that Allah is severe in punishment. Had they known that, when they see that punishment, and they see that all of the power belongs to Allah, and that Allah is severe in punishment, had they known that in this world, then they would wish that they can go back, so that they wouldn't do what they did in this lifetime. They would realize the harm and the mistake of their taking something as a god besides Allah. But there is no going back. At that day there is no return. But the time to correct ourselves is in this world. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions what will be the condition of those whom they worship besides Allah. What will be the condition between those who were worshipped, followed and obeyed and submitted to, and those who used to worship them, and used to follow them, and used to obey them, and used to submit to them. What will be their relationship on that day, when those who are worshipped and obeyed, they will declare their innocence, and that they are free of those who obey them, and those who follow them, and those who listen to them. So they have nothing to do with them. And then those who follow them would wish that they could come back into the world, so that in this life they can say, we have nothing to do with you. But there's no going back. And it will neither benefit the one who was followed or worshipped, or the one who followed them and worshipped them. On that day, there will be no benefit from their declaring the innocence of one another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ تَبَرَّى الَّذِينَ اتَّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا. Then those who were followed, those who were obeyed, those who were taken as gods besides Allah, as andad or a nib besides Allah, when they declare their innocence and being free of those who followed them, those who made shirk with them, وَرَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ, and when they see the punishment, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابِ, and when the asbab, those things, the ties of relationships, of love or friendship, when those things, those ties, when they become cut off, and they become separated from one another, at that time, the reality will come forth. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا, and those who were following, or obeying, or submitting, or worshipping others, they will say, لَوْ أَنَّ لَنَا قَرَّةً, that if we had a chance to make an awdah, to come back again, to go back into the world, if there was a chance for us to go back into the world, فَنَتَبَرَّعَ مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّعُوا مِنَّا, then we would have declared ourselves to be free from them. If we could go back into the world, we would declare ourselves to be free from them, as they are now, in this yani day of judgment, declaring themselves free from us, saying that we have nothing to do with them, and we have nothing to do with their worshipping us. That's what they will say. All of those things that were worshipped will be clearly innocent, that we didn't have anything to do with it. We didn't ask them to worship us, and we had no authority to make them to worship us. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes this section of verses by saying, كَذَلِكْ, and just as those people see that punishment and realize the error and the mistake, and the horror of the severity of the situation that they were in at that time, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَفَرَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them their deeds. It will be a reason of severe regret. They will regret on that day. Allah will show them their deeds, just as He will show them the fire, and the fire will make them realize how terrible is their situation. Likewise, Allah will then show them the actions that brought them to that situation, and they will see the ugliness of their shirk and their kufr and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps in this world, when we disobey Allah, we don't realize how ugly it is. Those who are doing kufr and shirk, they don't realize how ugly it is. Just yesterday I saw pictures of some of the people who are considered to be Muslims in a place in India called Nellore. And those people came in busloads to a particular place where they come yearly, where they are graves of so-called saints or wali, awliya. and they come to sit at their graves and pray to them and sacrifice to them and make tawaf and worship them. Obviously, those people don't see the ugliness of what they are doing. Families, men, women and children are going together and sitting there and offering sacrifices and making tawaf and praying and asking for their needs. To us, the people of Tawheed, we see that this is ugly. Wallahi, it's so disgusting. A Muslim who fears Allah, if they see such things, they will cry to know that these people consider themselves to be Muslims and they are worshipping something other than Allah. Actual, real, obvious, open worship. Shirk. On that day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show them their deeds, حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ, and it will be clear to them the ugliness of their deeds, and it will be a means of great regret, such that it will cause the person who regrets something to the extent that they become immobilized, and they can't even move or speak. That's how they will be on that day, from the regret of seeing the fire and seeing the actions which caused them to enter into it. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will never come out of the fire. And they will never come out of the fire. Not only they will be punished, but they will never come out. They will never come out. It will be eternity in the hellfire. Some of the comments of Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, concerning these verses. He begins by mentioning verse number 163, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. That your God, He is one God, He is the only one that should be worshipped. And He is Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent, Ar-Rahim, the Merciful. Al-Hafiz, rahimahullah, says that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us of عَنْ تَفَرُّدِهِ بِالْإِلَهِيَةِ, that He is unique and alone in His ilahiyah, that He is the only one who is divine and the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And that He doesn't have any shariq, there is no partner with Him, and no adil, no equal to Him. There is no partner who shares in any way with Him, nor is anyone equal or similar to Him. But He is Allah al-Wahid, al-Ahad, al-Fard, al-Samad. He is the one who is single, unique and alone. As-Samad, the one who everything in the creation depends upon for their needs, and He is the one who is independent and without need of anyone. The one who alone deserves to be worshipped, and He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And then He says that these two names, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the explanation of these names have already been preceded in the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha. They mention the hadith of Shahr ibn Hawshab from Asma bint Yazid ibn Sakin رضي الله عنها from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that He said اسم الله العظم في هاتين الآيتين, that the name of Allah, the greatest name of Allah, اسم الله العظم, it is in these two ayat. The first of them is this ayat which we have just read, وَإِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهُ وَاحِدٌ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. And the second of them is in Surah Al-Ali Imran, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, Allahu La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. This is a hadith that's reported in the Muslim Imam Ahmed and the Sunan of Abu Dawud al-Tirmidhi ibn Majah and al-Darimi. And this hadith is a Hasan hadith, is an acceptable hadith that may be used as a proof. And just as a point of information, there are other hadith which mention اسم الله العظم, the greatest name of Allah, and from amongst them is a hadith that's recorded in the Mustadraf of Hakim on the authority of Abu Umama, and it's also a Hassan hadith. In that hadith he mentions that the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is contained, yani اسم الله العظم في سور من القرآن ثلاث, that the name of Allah, the greatest name of Allah, is in three chapters of the Qur'an. في بقرة وآل عمران وطه, يعني in three chapters of the Quran. And one of the narrators of that hadith, Abu Qasim, he said that I examined the Quran and searched and inspected to find where is the name of Allah, and he said that it is contained in this in ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah in ayat al-Kursi, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, al-hayy al-qayyum, and in Surah Al Imran alif lam mim, Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum, and in Surah Al-Ta'a chapter 20 verse 111, the saying of Allah, wa'anat al-wujuh lil-hayy al-qayyum, that all of the faces will be humbled, for al-hayy al-qayyum. And perhaps this hadith is closer to the meaning of what is expressed in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ismullah al-Azam, and the nearest name of Allah, as these three verses in Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran and Surah Al-Taha, all of them contain the same names of Allah, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And these names, if there was a chance to discuss them in detail, it would be beneficial. But due to the lack of time, let it suffice to say that Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, that these are two of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars have discussed them in detail and shown that Al-Hayy, it is the perfection of life, which includes all of the perfect sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the perfect characteristics of description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Allah's that, that His life is perfect, containing all aspects of perfection. And Al-Qayyum, it has two main aspects. In brief, we can say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who the whole of the universe depends upon. That He has brought the whole universe into existence, and its existence is reliant upon Him. Nothing can continue to exist and nothing will exist except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows it to exist. And likewise, He Himself is relying upon Himself. And He is qa'im bi nafsihi. He doesn't depend on anyone or anything, but He is totally independent. So this name, Al-Qayyum, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of everything, or everything is dependent on Him. Allahu a'lam. Then Al-Hafiz Ibn Kathir says that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning this first verse about the uniqueness of Allah and that He alone deserves to be worshipped, then He mentions the evidence of His right, exclusive right to be worshipped, and that is the creation of the heavens and the earth and what is between them and what is in them, what they contain and what is between them, of all types of life of the creatures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and these things are a proof and an indication of the wahdaniyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His uniqueness, that He is divine and alone in His divinity and right to be worshipped. Then He mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following verse 164, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, that verse in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and day, to the end of that verse, and He says, concerning the saying of Allah, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that verse in the creation of the heavens and the earth, that is in the irtifa' of the heavens, they are being raised up to a great height, and the intricacy of the way that they have been created, and the vastness of the creation, and those heavenly bodies which are moving, and those which are established, as-sayyara wa-thawabit, those which are moving, and those which appear to be firm, and so on, all of them revolving in their orbit. And likewise, this earth, and the way it has been created, as like it, inqifadiha, the places in the earth that are low, and the jibaluha, the places in the earth which are high, and the seas and the deserts and the valleys, and the creatures that are living throughout the earth in its various places, and the benefit, and what is in the earth of benefit, that this is also one of the signs for those who reflect. Likewise, in the alternation of the night and the day, this shows that when one of them goes and the other one comes, and none of them will overcome the other one, but they will always follow one another. None of them will delay or be late in its coming forth even for 1 second, but they are timely, precision, as set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has all knowledge and wisdom and power to implement whatever He wills. This is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَيُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرُ, that it is not expected, it is not accepted that the sun will overcome the moon, وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارُ, nor will the night overcome the day, وَكُلٌ فِي فُلْقٍ يَسْبَحُونَ, and every one of them is in its orbit, swimming or going forth in its orbit as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it to be. Sometimes one of them will be long, yani the day may be long, and the other one will be short, and one of them will take from the other one, yani from the length of one, so that it will become longer and the other one will become shorter. And each of them, likewise, they will alternate with one another. And this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ fil nahari wa yuliju an-nahara fil layl, that the night will go into the day, and in making the day go forth, and likewise the day will go into the night, meaning following it, making it to also go forth, but none of them will be any conflict with the other. Then he says, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالْفُلْقُ أَلَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي بَحْرِي بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ, and likewise the ships which float across the seas with that which benefits the people. He said that these seas have been subjugated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have been made to carry the ships that carry that which is beneficial for humanity. Those ships traveling from one land to another land, from one side of the sea to the other side of the sea, with that which is needed for the livelihood of humanity, and that which benefits, that which is of benefit from one people from a particular area, taking it to another people from another area, and likewise those in the other area sending that which is of benefit with them to the others. وَمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ فَأَحْيَ بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا, and also what Allah has sent down from the skies, from the clouds, meaning from the clouds of water, and He brought forth life to the earth after its death from that water which He causes to descend from the clouds. And this is similar to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَآيَاتٌ لَهُمْ, and these are, this is a sign for them, الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ أَحْيَيْنَاهَا فَأَخْرَجْنَا مِنْهَا حَبًّا فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ. But this is a sign for those who would reflect that the dead earth Allah brings into life and brings forth from it grains or seeds, or that which the people eat from it is that which they eat, to the end of the saying of Allah, وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and also from that which you do not know, or you have no knowledge of. Then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَةٍ, and He has sent forth every type of living creature that walks across the earth with their different shapes and different colors and different benefits. Some of them are small and some of them are big, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows every one of them, and He provides sustenance for every one of them, and nothing of these things is hidden from the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is similar to the saying of Allah in another place in the Quran, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, and there is no creature walking upon the face of the earth except that its sustenance is an obligation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one who provides for them. وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows its place of dwelling as well as its place of resting, where it will end up. كُلٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, all of this is in a clear book. Then he mentions the saying of Allah concerning the wind for tasreef al-riyah, sometimes it comes bringing the rahmah, the mercy of Allah, and sometimes it comes bringing al-azab, the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes it comes bringing good news. Mubashara bayna yaday al-sahab, the winds come before the clouds, and when the winds come it is like good news that behind that is going to come clouds. And that's good news for farmers, for the people who are waiting rain for their land. And sometimes it's actually the winds come pushing the clouds. The clouds come ahead of the winds, and sometimes the winds are the cause of collecting the clouds or separating the clouds, directing the clouds, sometimes coming from the north wind, and sometimes coming from the south, from Yemen, and sometimes coming from the east or the west. And likewise, from different directions, the winds come according to Allah's will. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brings the wind and the rain that comes down on the stars. All of this, he said that these things have been written about by some of the scholars in numerous books, and the things that are related to them in some detail, and this is not the place to discuss that, wallahu a'lam. Then he talks about the clouds themselves, والسحاب المسخرة بين السماء والأرض, the clouds which are under control, that go between or travel between the heavens and the earth, and they are caused to travel to the lands and different places wherever Allah wills. as Allah is the one who controls them and causes them to go where He wants them to go. And all of these things, لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ, all of these things are signs for the people who use their aql, who use their intellect to reflect and to think and to ponder and to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things are clear signs of the oneness of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in the Qur'an, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that verily the creation of the heavens and earth, وَاخْتِلَافَ اللَّيْلِ وَالنُّهَارِ, and in the alternation of the night and day, لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ, these are also signs for the people of understanding, أُولِ الْأَلْبَابِ, those who have knowledge and understanding. Then he goes to the second section of these verses, talking about those who don't reflect and those who didn't understand and failed to recognize the right of Allah to worship alone. And he mentioned that from amongst the people are those who take and add. They take something as an equal and they love them as they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who believe their love of Allah is greater than the love of those who share their love of Allah with others besides Allah. From these verses, he mentions the, what will be the condition of the mushrikeen, those who worship other than Allah, in this world, and what will be their condition in the next life, and that those who they worshipped or obeyed or followed, that they will declare their innocence of being free from those who followed them on the day of resurrection. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the condition of the mushrikeen, the pagans, what will be their condition in this world, and what will be their destination in the next life. Since they made something as an equal, a mid or a mithl, something that is like, or nazir, something that is equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worshipping them along with Allah and loving them as the love of Allah. Probably Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and He has no bid, no opponent, and no mid, no rival, and no sharik, no partner. There's no opponent for Allah, there's no rival for Allah, there's no equal or partner along with Him. And then he mentioned the hadith in Sahihin, that Al-Bukhari al-Muslim on the attack of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I said, Ya Rasulullah, أيُّ ذن أعظم, what is the greatest? هو خلق, while Allah, He is the only one who has created you. How can anything be equal to Allah, while He is the only creator? If a person knows that there is only one creator, how can they worship something besides Him? He mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ, and those who believe the love of Allah is greater, because of their perfect knowledge of Allah, and their honor and respect of Allah, and their acknowledgement of the tawheed of Allah, and they don't worship anything along with Him, but they worship Him alone, and they rely upon Him alone, and they seek refuge and help for all of their affairs in Him alone. For this reason, their love is greater than the love that the mushrikeen have in any way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens, and He threatened to warn the mushrikeen, those who worship others along with Him, the zalimeen, those who did shirk, who did wrong to their own selves by making something as an equal as a partner to Allah. This is dhulm li nafsi. I mean, these people have done wrong to their own selves. And He says to them that if those who did dhulm, who did shirk, if they were to see at the time when they feel the actual punishment of Allah, if they were to know that the quwwah, all of the power, it belongs to Allah alone, then if they were to know such, and that they would be faced with this punishment, the reality that they're going to face it, that there's no escape from it, and they know what will happen to them, the terrible, evil, great punishment that they will be faced with due to their shirk and their disbelief, their kufr, then they would have discontinued, they would have stopped from doing what they were doing of wrong, of dalal, of being astray, if they were to know such. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, or informs about their kufr, and also about their awthan, the idols that they worship, that those things which they were following would declare their innocence from them. And He mentions this saying that, إِذْ تَبَرَّأَ الَّذِينَ اتُّبِعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا, that those who were followed would declare the innocence of those who followed them. And this includes the angels, who they claimed that they were worshipping the angels in this world. The angels would say, we are free, we declare our innocence to you, O Allah, from those who claim that they were worshipping us, and that they didn't worship us at all. And likewise, the jinn, they will also declare their innocence from the worship that the people offered to them in this world. He mentions some verses indicating such. Then he mentions the saying of Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam, that verily you have taken besides Allah awthanan, yani false gods or idols besides Allah, due to the love that was between you in this world, in the life of this world, but then on the day of resurrection, some of them will deny others and some of them will curse others, and they will reject one another. All of them will declare their innocence from one another. وَمَأْوَاكُمُ النَّارِ وَمَا لَكُمْ مِنْ نَاقِرِينَ. But your destination, the end of it all, for those who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be the fire, and they will not have anyone to help them. Here, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir mentions also a number of verses, all of them dealing with the same topic of those who were worshipped, those who were followed, those who were obeyed. From the preachers, they will all declare their innocence from those who followed them, who obeyed them, or who worshipped them. And then those who used to follow them will wish that they could also come back into this world so that they could declare their innocence from them. And from amongst them, he mentions the saying, وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم. The shaytan will say, when the matter is decided, yani in the day of judgment, that verily Allah promised you a promise of truth, and I promised you and I failed in my promise. وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان. And I have no sultan, no authority. I have no authority over you. Shaytan has no authority over anyone in this world. إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي. But I just called you, and you answered my call. فلا تلوموني. So don't blame me. Shaytan will declare his innocence from those who obeyed him. Don't blame me. ولوموا أنفسكم. But blame yourselves. ما أنا بمصرخكم. I am not able to help you. وما أنتم بمصرخي. Nor are you able to help me. إني كفرت بما أشركتمون من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم. Verily, I deny you are worshipping me along with Allah, making shirk, what you did before, and verily the Zalimeen, the Mushrikeen, those who worship anything along with Allah, for them will be a terrible punishment. Then he mentions the last verses of this section, that when they see the punishment, and when the relations are cut off between them, and when they see the punishment of Allah in the Qiyamah, and those ties, the relations that they had between them will be cut off, and there will be no chance for them, anyone to escape, and they will not find any way to move that punishment away from them, or to move them, to bring them, to get them away from the punishment, not to move the punishment away from them. At that time, and some of the scholars, said that the meaning here of تَقَطَعَتْ بِهِمَ الْأَسْبَابِ, that it means الْمَوَدَّةِ, or the love or friendship that was between them. When these things occur, and everyone sees the reality of the situation, and no one has any relation or concern or care from anyone else, and no one will have any escape, at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that those who followed, or those who used to follow, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا, those who used to follow the others, they will say, لَوْ إِنَّ لَنَا كَرَّةً, if there was a chance for us to return, لَنَتَبَرَّأَ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُ مِنَّا مِنْهُمْ كَمَا تَبَرَّأُ مِنَّا, then we will declare innocence from them, and they declared their innocence from us. And if they were able to go back into this world, so they would have the chance to declare their innocence and to separate themselves from them and their worship of them, then they would never even look at them, but they would only worship Allah alone. They would offer all worship to Allah alone. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are lying, that in fact if they were to return to this world, they wouldn't discontinue, but they would continue doing that which they were prohibited from. So indeed they are lies. And this is, for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, كَذَلِكَ نُرِيهُمُ اللَّهُ فَأَعْمَالَهُمْ. Likewise, Allah will show them their actions. حَفَرَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. It will be a means of great or severe regret. All of their deeds will vanish in front of them. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ. And we will come forth to that which the actions of these which they did, فَجَعَلْنَاهُ حَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا, and we will make it as though it is particles of dust scattered. Yeah, I mean, just scattered. There will be nothing remaining of any deeds for them to help them on that day. And we also mentioned the verse which is similar in meaning to this, that the likeness of those who disbelieve in their Lord, their deeds will be like ashes. كَرَمَادٍ اشْتَدَّتْ بِهِ الرِّيحُ, when the strong wind has came and blown over those ashes, فِيَوْمِ الْعَاقِبِ, in a day in which there is a storm. And if this, their deeds will be scattered, there will be nothing for them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a final description of them, that their description, those who disbelieve, the description of their deeds is like the person, the thirsty person on the desert who sees a mirage. He thinks that it is water, and they will think that they have some deeds for Yawm al-Qiyamah. When they get to, they will find nothing there. And here he closes by saying, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَالَى, and for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for the reason that they will give any benefit to them, for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ, and they will not come out of the fire. Then they will never come out of the fire. In the last remaining moments, just quickly, before we take questions, just like to list some of the benefits that have been mentioned concerning these verses. The first of them is the obligation of the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring that Allah is the only Creator and Lord, and singling Him out for worship. Since there is nothing that deserves to worship except Allah, then ibadah or worship which is given to other than Allah will never be accepted. Anyone who offers any worship to other than Allah, it will never be accepted. So the first point is the obligation of acknowledging the Tawheed of Allah. The second is that related to al-ayat al-qawmiyya, the universal signs which Allah has placed in the creation, that whoever will reflect upon these great signs, such as the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the vastness of Allah's kingdom, whoever will reflect with a sound mind on these things, it will indeed inevitably lead to the conclusion that Allah alone deserves to be worshipped, and nothing should be worshipped besides Him. From these signs they will see indeed that He is the one who is described with the descriptions of perfection, and He is the one who is free of any description of imperfection. The third point is that likewise, al-ayat al-tanziliyah or al-ayat al-Qur'aniyah, the verses of Qur'an, likewise point to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His wahdaniyah, that He is alone and unique in His names and characteristics and His right to be worshipped. Number four, that the benefit from these verses or these ayat al-Qawmiyyah and al-Qur'aniyyah, the signs that are in the Qur'an as well as in the creation, that the benefit from these ayat of both types is limited to those who use their intellect. The benefit is for those who use their intellect, not to those who follow their desires. Number five, that there are some amongst the people, those who are blind, who do not see, and those whose hearts are locked, who cannot understand. Therefore, they don't benefit from the ayats or the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which indicate His tawheed, and which prove that He alone deserves to be worshipped or obeyed. Number six, the obligation of loving Allah and loving whatever Allah loves. The Muslim is obligated to love Allah and to love what Allah loves. And this is the foundation in Islam, love for the sake of Allah and hate for the sake of Allah. We love what Allah loves and we hate what Allah hates. Number seven, that it is a type of shirk when someone has love for something equal to the love of Allah. Loving something equal to the love of Allah is a type of shirk. Number eight, that the mushrik, the pagans who worship something along with Allah in the name of Qiyamah, they will have regret and they will grieve over their shirk when they see the punishment, the severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't regret it now, but on that day indeed they will regret. Number nine, that on Yom Kiyamah all ties of relations, of friendship, or blood relations, and otherwise, all ties would be lost. They would be eliminated. There would be no ties between people, except the ties of Iman, and the brotherhood of Iman that is between the believers. Number 10, that the God which will worship besides Allah, that they will declare themselves in front of Allah to be innocent of those who worship them and the worship of them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And number 10, that the mushrikeen, those who die on major shirk, worshipping something as a god besides Allah, whether from amongst those who call themselves Christians, Jews, Muslims, or otherwise, whoever dies on shirk, worshipping something as a god besides Allah, that they will be eternally in the hellfire and they will never come out from it. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, just appears to be a few moments remaining, as we haven't heard the event. Now,